All right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast. A.J. Bird, how was your gobbler?
Well, first off, Steve, happy Cyber Monday.
Happy
Are you celebrating?
Cyber Monday. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's Cyber Monday, everybody.
Woo. Yeah, baby.
No, just cybering up hot deals. Hot steals, man. A lot of people took advantage of the Black Friday there at the shop. What is it runs through? Today is, I'm looking at my watch, the second. So that runs all the way through the third?
Yeah, through Tuesday. Yep. Through Tuesday. So it's tomorrow also. Yep. 15% off store-wide.
What do you know?
Great deals.
Great steals. Great. Actually, people have been freaking out. It's the best deal in muskie fishing this year, for hands down. Mm-hmm. For the cool stuff, Jay. And what's better than cool stuff cheap, Jay?
Cheap, great stuff.
Great stuff cheap, I would say. Got this snazzy Muskie Shop Christmas ornament in.
That they just came in today. Yes, look, very nice.
Look, it's a muskie. He's got a Santa Claus hat on. It's like a freaking acid trip on your Christmas
tree. It's cool. It's an actual Magnum number 10 willow blade.
Ooh.
Yes, great paintwork on that thing.
Great paintwork. There you go. Put that on your tree and smoke it. Anyway,
you better,
Jay,
believe it.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was really good. How about you?
We had fun.
I talked to little Mama Paul the other night. That's right.
Yeah. We were having a good old time. Good old
time. Well, you didn't have any traveling, so that must have been nice. Just kind of chill out and entertain Mama and Jody and eat.
I didn't eat that much. We just don't do that. I just don't. We don't even do turkey, Jay.
Oh,
one of
so
those weird people. Well, is it though? Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It is. I just can't
break. Turkey. I had two turkey dinners Thursday and Friday. Couldn't have been better.
Really?
Yes.
Here's my thing with turkey. I would eat the skin off the entire thing. After that, I'm done. Right? Just give me that crispy. But no, it's weird. You know, we freaking fly our own flag around here. Do weird stuff. You know. Mm-hmm. Not to disappoint, but no, it was a lovely break from things and stuff, and it's finally cooled down here. Just winter has arrived. Jay, you said, we talked earlier today, you're seeing some ice up now?
Yeah. quite a few lakes froze over last night before.
Really?
Yeah, they were open Saturday when I was driving home and drove to work this morning. And, you know, mid-sized lakes are frozen or they're freezing up. So, but we've had so much wind, and it's supposed to be real windy again tomorrow. So the thing is, that's going to keep the bigger lakes open. You know, Tom and I were all picking orders today, trying to get, caught up and try to get all those orders out, basically, within a day of them being placed.
Basically little musky elves.
We were running around all of a sudden about 2 o'clock Jim comes into the office and he says, I'm gonna sneak out, go fishing. And I'm like, in a boat? And he goes, what do you think, I'm going shore fishing? he launched the Ranger, had his little floatable suits and everything going.
Absolutely,
on there. It's that water's like a tenth of a degree above freezing probably, but rolling the dice, man. There's still open water on the big lakes, and seems like everybody else gave up, but not Stewart brothers.
You listen, it's
hardcore.
We're into where the real men are still out. And how much longer, Jay, do you think before Northwoods is donezo, iced up? Week and a half, 2 weeks?
Those big lakes like Trout Lake and stuff might be open for a while. I don't know. We've got a cold forecast, like, highs below freezing every day, but it's been so darn windy.
Yeah. That makes it tough.
So we'll see. Yeah, maybe within the week. I don't know.
I can't believe it's December. Just kind of like, what?
I know.
I feel like I left your house in July an hour.
Yeah.
Like, my schedule's so crazy anyway. I'm just go, whoa, and it's winter. It just feels that way every year. You're like, You know, it's like a fever dream every year.
Yeah.
I still have boxes packed from Wisconsin and Canada in my garage.
It's still haven't completely unpacked, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like baits, and you're like, whatever, forget about it.
Label them Wisconsin box, and you got some boxes labeled Canada box, and all the home stuff probably,
Yes, I got more crap.
You're pretty organized when it comes, or you're very organized when it comes to your fishing stuff.
The rest of my life is not.
Right. That's what you know. It's cool.
It's like absolute chaos and terror, 24/7. And you go in my baits, it's like, okay, yeah. There's 45 feet of crane baits perfectly in a row, like OCD as you can get, you know, bucktails. that's one thing. We're going to have to we always talk about giveaways and all this stuff, and we've gotten really cruddy about it as of late.
That's like, true.
We really did, and we apologize, but I need to get rid of some stuff, so we need to do some contests this winter because I got too much at the house. It's just like
great idea. Stay tuned. We'll be giving stuff away. Yeah,
Steve's stash clear out at this point because it's just like, I got nowhere else to put it. You know, so
we'll be a good Christmas idea too. Just before Christmas, so
I was going to give you some of my used baits for Christmas, Jay.
Just you got some coal coming your way. Two lumps, baby.
Two lumps. Two hush. Why do I? Anyway, how is the pie? Did you have pie?
Pecan pie with Cool Whip. Oh, and pumpkin pie the next day.
Ugh, man. I can't do it.
Living the high life.
Greek salad, baby. Just a giant Greek salad with Kalmalata olives and feta cheese, Jay.
Mm,
yeah, it sounds very festive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry. Gotta be the odd man out here. Anyway. You know, I got a call from Steve O, there, Steve Herbeck, and I heard. You know what? Let's get on here. Let's do a little of the talky talk.
So advanced level musky fishing with guest Steve Herbeck.
Just cold ramblings. Let's hear.
Nice. Okay.
Let's hear how she went. Here she
go goes. For Herbeck.
Guys, I've got the man, the myth, the legend himself on the line. Steve Herbeck. Steve, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was great. It was a little cool, you know, but I thought I'd be on the water, but, you know, the weather took a deep freeze on us, and I had to cancel a few days, but I'm heading back out there tomorrow, and yeah, it'll be a little frigid, but I've been doing it for 40 years, and always to the last day of the season, so...
Right.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Not the first and not the last day you'll be cold.
Yeah.
No. Hey, let me ask you that on that tip, because as you know, I do extremely poor in cold temperatures. I hate the cold. You know, I know you're acclimated to it and been doing it, but, you know, something that always comes up about tips and tricks. How are you, like, keeping your gear functioning when it's that cold, Steve? Or is there anything you're doing to your gear or your boat? To prevent problems?
Well, obviously, when it gets super cold, everything breaks easier. You know what I mean? Everything freezes up. Everything breaks easier. It's imperative. Most problems that I've had late in the season are when I can't get my boat into a heated facility through the night, you know, afterwards. That makes a huge difference. If your pumps freeze solid, you know, and all that kind of stuff, it's brutal. As far as, you know, if you get it into, I've even gone to the point of running a salamander in a garage when I've had to on different locations.
What's a salamander? You know? You're collecting salamanders in your garage?
Propane.
What's a salamander?
Yeah, propane heater.
Okay, but, sorry, I'm retarded.
You know, it makes a huge difference. Okay. But as far as your gear, you know, I mean, when it gets down below about 24, 25, 26, you're just kidding yourself if you think you're going to cast, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's one thing that works really, really well, even trolling, and can get you by. I like bigger reels with with the paws that move back and forth,
right?
Because they'll clear your paw out. Like in extreme cold weather, if you insist on casting, there's hardly a better reel than the old 7000.
Yeah,
the whole Garcia 7000, and you keep a little a nut pick, you know, for like picking walnuts out in that handy. When you get some ice in there, you tip it over and you pick it out. But spraying your line and your paw first, before you even start, you soak it well with silicone, WD-40 silicone.
Right.
It soaks into your braid. It does not do anything detrimental to it. It's running out the guides, so it puts some anti moisture freezing stuff on the guides as the line's going out. And then the first couple casts, you spray your paw or your line again before you reel it in. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that right there will get you by for quite a while. And trolling, it's just about you can get by in really cold weather doing that. It makes a big difference. You know, and when it gets super cold, you go to trolling or you go to live bait, spraying your reels and vertical jigging. It's just the constant casting, you know, your hands can only take so much, you know, and things like that. But, that silicone tip on reels and paws makes a huge, huge difference.
Absolutely.
I also always keep a 20-pound propane canister in my boat with one of them sunflower type of propane heaters,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I keep that and I have it strapped into the front of my one of my consoles so they can't bounce around, move around.
Right.
So like if your hands get handling a fish, it doesn't take but 30 seconds and all of a sudden you're
done.
You can be in trouble. You know what I mean? If it gets to that kind of weather. Some people just give up. But I mean, I've always fished till the lakes freeze up on me or, you know, and so I've come up with a lot of different things and and you know, you just always dress warmer than you ever think you possibly can. The new electric vests and jackets underneath ice fishing jacket are game changers. You know what I'm saying?
And they sell. If you, what he's meaning is the rechargeable and the battery powered. You know, I have shoe warmers, dude.
Yeah.
I bought these things on Amazon for like $15. They're USB shoe warmers. It's a great, like, I would have paid $5,000 for them, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They're amazing. Yep. It changes, like you're saying, it changes the game. And do you wear a float suit when it's that cold? Or like
I got one coming.
Damn.
I'm finding myself not quite as cat-like as I always have been. So,
I realized I wasn't quite as cat-like 3 years ago. It took you far longer than me.
So, Steve Jonesy and his buddy Quinn, who I fish with, I guide him every year up in Canada for 3-4 days up on Eagle up there. And, they're big proponents of those Mustang suits, and they got they got one they're bringing me. I'm supposed to fish them Saturday and Sunday, so I'm curious to try it. They've worn them, you know, with fishing with me when in late October up in Ontario, and they sure didn't seem to be worried about the cold too much. So I would suit that you can sit in 40 degree or less water for 6 hours, it's got to be pretty warm when you're out of the water. So and not only that, but that safety part of it is huge. My suit that I wear floats, but it is not going to give me any amount of time
right
anymore than regular gear. So what's that do for you? It just makes them easier to find you. That's all.
There he is, boy. Hit him with the old gaff. Get him in. You're just bleeding out from the gaff when the Coast Guard. I bought, and again, not proponent for any brand or anything, but I bought a suit from a company on Minnesota called Windrider years back, and it's a float suit, and then it's like an ice fishing float suit, survival suit, right?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, just from my personal opinion, like you're saying, the cat-like thing, I feel way more comfortable in the boat in the winter because it's just like, you just go, okay, well, if I fall overboard, it's going to suck, but I think I'm going to fare better than I would in a bunch of layers, you know, because people freak out. They go, oh, the clothes. Well, your clothes filled with water weigh just as much as your clothes because they're just neutrally buoyant at that point, right? It's not like they weight you down. But the flotation
When Clam first came out with their ice fishing suit that floated, you know, we did some stuff, you know, jumping in the water, filming it and stuff. And, yeah, you floated in that. But it didn't change anything as far as the shock to your body.
Oh, God.
And, you know, you haven't got much time.
No.
You know?
No.
Well, I think being as safe as possible, like, you know, I didn't want to not, you know, I was supposed to be out Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday with a guy that I fished with last year. And, but, you know, when you're in the single digits with wind chill and 30 mile an hour winds, on a big deep lake with not many buddy else stupid enough to be out there, you know, you got to look at things, you know, just a little intelligently, and it was time to just say, you know, no moss,
It's one of those deals where, you know, I didn't think we'd take that tip that or that angle there, but it's. You know, you can definitely catch some fish, but it's be smart about it right now. Even if you're in the South, I mean, 55 degree water will wake you up. I'll promise you that. You know, you can go into shock in that, much less like, you know, you're getting to water temps in the high 30s before freeze up. You might think you're going to swim back to the boat. No, you're not.
You know, another thing that people don't really think about a lot is as you're reaching that. The end days, like, you know, it's about central part of the state. It's like Fox River, Green Bay is now just done. You know, it's creeping slowly. But we got, you know, depending upon the lake, you know, that you're picking, how deep it is, how windswept it is, the southern half of the state's going to be, you know, around for quite a bit yet. But what a lot of people don't think about is the landings themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been through it all, okay? A guy all of a sudden decides, well, I'm going to get another couple days in, and is not fully prepared. I mean, the back of my truck, I got, you know, a big tub with you know, salt, with kitty litter,
You got all the tips. Hold on. Wait, the tips so far, we need salt, kitty litter, a nut pick, a salamander, whatever.
I've seen where the wind is blowing up.
Right.
The lake is fine. The lake
ice
is
the
fine.
Ramp up.
But the wind blowing at 25 degrees at night makes a wave of ice on the ramp, and unless you got prepared for it, you're not going to get your boat in, or you're going to hang up your trailer. So, just remember, almost all lakes are not going to have their piers up.
Right.
Very few lakes. So I always carry a stepladder in the back of my truck.
Mm-hmm.
Like a 6-foot stepladder. So a lot of times your lakes are a little lower. Besides. Mm-hmm. In the fall, besides the piers not being out. So, a step ladder makes it much easier to get in and out of the boat for guys, stuff like that. That makes a big difference. A big ice chisel, you know, and that other stuff. It just all makes problems that I've experienced go away. You know what I'm saying?
You say that. I hadn't thought about this in years, and I was on in the middle of the state here, and it was, I mean, one of the coldest days I can recall, because we got wet cold down here. You know, it's not dry, it's wet, and we're talking single digits, and it's 80% humidity. It's cold. Of pulling out or pulling down a ramp and not checking to see if it was frozen. And I promise you, I went, and it was a long, long ramp down to this lake called Center Hill. And I bet you I went 200 feet sliding in reverse. Check it before you go down.
That's where I got all that salt and kitty litter, man.
I thought I was done. Yeah, I thought I was done.
A boat pulling you backwards can be really scary.
That's scary. I actually ended up, to be honest with you, what happened is the boat and trailer jackknifed, and I broke my skeg off my boat on a tree. That's what stopped me. It was a code brown, buddy. A code brown. So.
You know, another thing too, if you're staying at a hotel, for instance, and you don't have a heated garage to put your boat in at night, and it gets well below freezing, and you got a bunk trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're always careful if you got a roller trailer, but most people with bunks don't realize that when those bunks are wet and they freeze, and a lot of people unhook their boats, you know, before they put them in, you know, I've seen boats end up in the parking lot.
Oh yeah, you don't,
and I'm talking on bunks, carpeted bunks.
It's their ice.
Yeah. So you just got to be careful, think things out, you know, don't rush into things, you know, you know, the more you've done it, the more, you know, you're prepared for it. But, you know, these things I'm telling you could happen. These things I'm telling you to have could make things very simple instead of problematic.
Yeah.
You know,
but something I didn't know we're be going down this rabbit hole at first, but. Last year, Jay, you know, Jay from Muskie Shop, he calls me. He said, I'm froze up. What do I do? You know, he's out kind of on the Wisco River there at the bitter end. And his engine freezes. And something that I had run into at one point was actually making sure I always have some flexible wire and a bucktail wire to clear out. I don't know the proper name for it. I always just call it the P-stream. Because a lot of guys have caught duck hunters freeze up where if your engine can't circulate that water, you can blow your engine up just from that P stream not moving, you know, to being able to clear. I'm sure you've seen that where you look over your shoulder and you go, my engine's not peeing. This is not good, you know? And then like you're saying, if you're staying at a hotel and people look at me like I'm nuts, I'm not here to tell you what to do with your engine, but every day when I bring it in, I put the thing on the trailer, get it through the parking lot. I put that thing as down as I can get it, and I start it dry. Let it blow up whatever water has in it for like 5 seconds. You know,
exactly. I do the same thing.
Yeah.
I spin the prop forward and reverse.
Yep.
I got it down and draining. Mm-hmm. You know,
get the water out. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then store it if you're parked. When I get home every night, I always worry about that. I know you like. You store it vertically at night to make sure that any remnants are out, you know, and then I take my, whatever the heck you want to call it, that engine support or whatever, I hang it off the door of my truck. So I have to take it, you know what I'm saying? So I have to take it off the door of my truck before I start my truck, because in the past I've taken some skegs off in my own driveway backing out. You know, that's all important. You know, have you seen, Steve, just out of curiosity, if we're talking about kind of the woes of the end of the season here for you guys, bait damage, you know, is there anything as far as extreme cold that you have that you look at as far as like, you know, obviously, if there's water in a bait or something of that nature, or say we're throwing
if you got a leaker, I mean, you know, it's probably not a great bait anyway. Although I do have several baits that are leakers that are great. great fall baits because they run a lot deeper.
It kind of slows
the action up a little bit. People think they're junk.
I think so we work for a company that had a little incident with leakers and ended up being awesome. problems. Thank you. Yeah. Me and Steve still throw those original Titans that had problems. Get that out. And I'm thinking on this end of things, I've always told guys, say, like, you're cracking, you know, or it's got that water chamber in it. You know, you're throwing a crack and sub freeze, and make sure you drain that thing out at the end of the day. You know, take your gear in. You know, as far as tactics, I mean, you're going out tomorrow. What's your basic game plan? Is it all trolling? Is it like live bait trolling?
Well, later on in the week, we're going to be a little bit above freezing, and I got some hardcore guys in Steve Jonesy and Quinn and some of them guys that I'm going to do some live baiting and casting and jigging and stuff, but below freezing. And not only that, but I'm fishing a deep lake trout type of lake. Mm-hmm. It's been a really weird fall. November, you know, up in Vitus County. And, you know, really, it was a weird fall. If you really wanted shallow type of casting action, you almost had to be like on a river system or channels between lakes or plodges, stuff like that. Because the kind of lakes that I like to fish in the fall, I counted the number of fish that I had chasing baits. On my hands.
Yeah.
Most of the fish were live bait, and they were deep, 25 to 35 feet. You would get bites every day, but if you weren't at those deeper depths, you weren't going to get many bites. It was a great fall for tigers, because I think they'll bite when the other ones weren't. It was a strange kind of fall. But if you rolled with the punches and figured stuff out and didn't rely just on scoping and stuff and really used your intelligence and your experience, you could be on fish every day. But it was mostly live bait bite. I caught a couple fish trolling on real windy, cold days. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, 80% of the fish that I boated in November were live bait fish and deeper than 20 feet. Most of them were 25 to 35 feet.
They're just way down there. Yeah.
And another thing, though, because the bite was kind of non-typical for a fall, you know, people like to get them great big suckers, and they think it's going to catch them a great big fish. Well, the tougher the bite is, or the more it is a non-typical type of bite that you have to figure out. Okay, that it's just not what the right by the books. It seems that your smaller live baits seem to be more productive, more in that 12 to 10 to 14 inch range versus 15 to 20 inch range.
Right.
And another thing that I found out too over the years, and it was only because I couldn't get bigger bait, so all it was available a small bait. But when fishing Cisco-based lakes and you pass the turnover, even if they aren't spawning, even if you're not at that 42, 44 degrees and the Cisco's aren't spawning, they now can be high, they can be low, they can be up close to shore, they can be... People sometimes get confused as to what staging bait fish are, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just that they can be anywhere. Once you're at 50 degrees and below, they're not spawning yet, but they can be anywhere. And at times, depending upon the conditions of the day and the wind directions and so on, the kind of how much light penetration there is and everything else, you can find pods of Cisco's, near, not necessarily deep, but where you would normally be, fishing structures, deep off the deep edges in the fall. And what I found is that, the size of the bait, I think, is as important as to the type, as sometimes as the type. Mm-hmm. So if these muskies are on a Cisco-based lake, you can catch fish on suckers, but I think that they really are targeting white fangs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if your suckers are not 20 inches because the ciscos are because the ciscos are 9 to 12 right. inches, and your suckers are more 9 to 12 inches, you got a lot better chance at them biting them than a 20-incher.
Right.
And I've seen that a lot, and it wasn't because I thought about it, this is what the way it was going to be. It was because it was by a process of elimination, because that was all that was available, and we ended up doing pretty damn good, and then the light bulb went on.
Yeah.
And that started years ago, you know?
Right, go on.
So, you know, so really, you know, the very best, if you're fishing suckers, lakes are lakes that's what they got to eat.
Yeah.
That have few ciscos, if any, you know, because if you got big fish and you're targeting them, the reason they got big fish is because they're not eating bluegills, they're eating suckers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what their main forage is in that lake, and that's why you got big fish besides genetics, okay?
Right.
If it isn't a cisco-based lake. So if you really want really good sucker bites, typically lakes that don't have ciscos have much better consistent sucker bites than cisco-based lakes.
Mm-hmm. Can you?
Not that you can't catch fish on cisco-based lakes with suckers, you certainly can, but the bite is usually always better on, and if you really want to, you know, catch fish on cisco-based lakes, then jig up ciscos, or it's like some guys are doing, they net them at night, but you make sure that you're using them on the lakes or systems that you're netting them from, because there's a legal issue of moving around from lake to lake.
I was about to ask you about that. You rarely ever hear about people rigging them up.
The people that are doing it keep it quiet.
Are they, as far as a cisco, as far as live bait, are they hardy?
They're as hardy or hardier than a sucker.
Are they?
You just got to rig them accordingly. I used one, when I use a cisco, I use one hook,
mm-hmm.
a small number, 2-aught or 1-aught,
mm-hmm.
Right in the middle. They got very skinny, skinny nostrils. So the rubber band rig or a very small bluegill type of hook,
mm-hmm.
through the nostrils works really good. Something that'll straighten out on the hook set. But their tail beats like a tuna. They're very fast, and they are way more hardier than you would ever think. I had one that was jumping, like leapfrogging out of the water with a muskie chasing it.
That's awesome.
On the end of my line, okay?
Yeah.
And it got away from the muskie.
Oh.
But I'm telling you, they like, what's using scopes live baiting has showed me is that, you know, people say, oh, the scopes, they'll show you that the scopes are affecting fish, that, you know, you're only getting one bite out of every 5 or 6, 7 fish that follow your suckers.
Mm-hmm.
You're just seeing it.
Yeah.
You're just seeing it. They've been doing that for 30 years.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? Because you're just seeing it now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And all it does is drive you nuts.
Right.
You know, I always have the rod in my hand. I'm always like in tune. Like I got a mental perception right down my line,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the live bait. You know what I mean? So, you know, I would, a lot of times, if I had a good lively bait, I could tell if there was a muskie messing with it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just, I'm you know, what the scope has showed me when I use it when I'm live bait fishing, it just shows me when one's around, and if he follows it for 50, 60 feet and doesn't bite it, I should take it away from him so I can come back at a later time and maybe catch him.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just bite at shorter windows, that's all. That's what's going on. When they are hungry, they still got to mess with them.
Yeah.
When they're hungry, they come like a missile and they grab it.
Yeah, there's no messing around.
You know, so... And that's what the scope shows you. It just shows you what they're doing. It drives you nuts and make you feel like an idiot. So I just went to not even using it. I catch just as many fish as without a scope as I do with the scope when it comes to live bait. It was just cool to watch them.
It's funny you say that, and something that, you know, when I first got live scope, I was very exciting are very excited for vertical jigging with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I catch more fish without live scoping on a vertical jig.
Mm-hmm.
And now, and I'm asking you, you know, obviously your opinions want to hold in high regard, but I'm conflicted in my own mind going, is it the chicken or the egg? Is it that I'm aware that the muskie's there, so I'm overreacting or underreacting, right? Or is it that I'm just blindly jigging and I just keep that consistency and I seem like I catch more fish? You know, it's one of those things of where, you know, jigging a Bondi or something of that nature, you're seeing so many fish come in, it's so much more frustrating opposed to just blindly just sitting there and just banging bottom and just doing it. Does that make any sense?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's the jury's not out, you know. The jury's not really out, you know, completely, you know. So, I mean, like I said, I use the scope. I like I've always said, if it never came about, I'd be happier, okay?
Yeah.
If they outlawed it, I'd be happier because I feel my experience and many years of experience, I can go out and catch fish where these people that are only into musky fishing and all of a sudden are guides for a year or two,
right,
and they're living by scopes and catching fish because of the scopes will be lost.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So I mean, it almost, you know, I know some very, very, very good guys, some of the best in the industry, that almost had to use scopes just because people that had a tenth of their knowledge in that were catching his, and the social media makes them look like heroes. So, you know,
yeah.
And you know, it's, you know, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I personally myself, I don't and would not, power snipe, you know what I mean?
No,
move around with the water.
No.
I use it while I'm casting, and I've learned a lot, you know, about what fish are doing, things like that with it. But, you know, like for instance, when I'm live baiting now, if I'm using it, when I see a fish come up on it,
mm-hmm,
I turn it off.
Yeah.
I just turn it off now. I just don't know what to think about the whole, where it's going to go. I think used conscientiously, you know, used conscientiously, I think it's a great tool. Used not with conscience and regard for the resource and just about how many photos you can put on Facebook and stuff like that. Well, and fish open water fish, regardless of how deep they are or not how deep they are, I think it's a bad thing. But
yeah,
it's here. It's here, and I just hope that through the course of this time, as we move forward, that people, you know, become, you know, more intelligent about the use of it, because, you know, we're trying to get some things done with it on Eagle, you know, but will it happen? I don't think so. So, you know, I just hope people, you know, become a little bit more conscientious about the use of it and use it as a learning tool, not just the only way to catch a fish.
Right.
Because it takes a lot of fun out of musky fishing.
It does. It's funny. It's like, because I remember the first conversation you and I had, you called and you're talking about getting it, you know, asked me if I had it. And, you know, we've compared notes about it over the years, and now it's become this thing. It's this, live scope is, I don't want to say hot button issue, but a lot of people like to talk about it. And it's one of those deals, you couldn't put any better, your feelings or my feelings, to be honest with you, where, well, I was guiding before it, and if they outlaw it, I'll be guiding after. I know I catch more fish because of it, because I use it in the figure eight. That's my main thing. Do we have a follow or not? That's what I do with it. 99.9% of the time I go, well, it probably, if it went away, I'd probably just make people really figure eight a lot harder. You know.
Yeah, you learn because of it. You learn because of it. That's why you do it.
Right. And then instead of.
But I know some guys that are superb anglers.
Right.
That are hooked on it like crack.
Yeah.
and they'll go out on a lake system and want to catch fish regular,
right?
But fish two spots
and they're done.
Three spots, not see fish, and oh, we got to go look for them.
Yep. See that? I just can't. Let me ask you this: a guide to guide question, right? So, I've always felt like part of my job is, you know, it's 10 hours of suckitude for 10 seconds of excitement, right? So, yeah. I've got to keep you, we're telling stories, we're laughing it up, we're having a good time, we're having conversations for 99.9% of the trip. And I just can't imagine, like, holding the remote in my hand and driving around in open water and going, there he is, throw 40 feet, he's, you know. I just don't know what that dynamic feels like in the boat. I just can't.
It's a great way, you know, for people to catch fish. But what are you really learning? You know,
nothing.
You're learning how to throw a straight cast.
And that's
about it.
Yeah.
I mean, the dynamics of learning the different types of baits and mm-hmm. and how to use them and when to use them and why am I making this decision mm-hmm. and why am I changing a lake because of varying conditions and changes in conditions. To me, that's the hunt.
Right. Much less, you say that, quality boat control, which catches you more muskies
yeah.
than any.
Yeah.
You watch these guys and it's like, and I'm not knocking it, I just can't get myself there to go, all right, we're going to drive this boat around in open water. Hell, let me put it this way. I had a guy in the boat a few weeks ago. Came in, you know, if this thing was a tick below 48, I'll eat my shoe, right? Really good fish comes in on him. Comes in on the 8. I went for the net because I thought the thing ate the thing. You know what I'm saying? I kind of caught out of the corner of my eye. I thought, we're game on. We just didn't get the fish. Come back, we make another pass, it follows deep on scope, come back, and I said, well, let's look for it, and there it is, you know. And a lot of people, I'll give up the ghost. A lot of times when these fish follow a bait, they don't go back to the edges, they go out in the open water behind your boat, by the way.
Yeah, or they just keep going to yeah. the next structure. Yeah.
Yep. And here I went 30 feet, pulled way off, well, there it is, 10 feet down, 40 feet out, forever there. Yeah, and I didn't know that. You didn't know that. Me and you kept that secret for quite a few years. I remember you calling me and said, guess what they do after they follow? And you told me, and I went, you're kidding me. No. And I started looking, but, you know, is that worth it? I don't know. Like I said, I just can't get excited about driving around on my foot pedal or my remote going, there's one.
See, you know, something that I found particularly up on Eagle and your deeper lakes with a lot of structure
mm-hmm.
In northern Wisconsin is that, you know, I'll as I come around a structure, I'll stop at maybe a midpoint and take 30 seconds and do a 360
mm-hmm.
and occasionally you'll see a fish 30-40 yards out back of the boat and you cast at it and you catch it
mm-hmm.
Okay, that happens once in a while here and there, right? But if I consistently just had, if I got two anglers, one guy always casting out off the back of the boat
mm-hmm.
and spacing his cast, and the guy on the structure side of the boat doing the same thing, I'm going to catch as many fish in the end yeah. of the day.
I hear you. Not trying to go down the scope route, but it seems like we always do because it's such a. I'll tell you this, and I think
and like I said, I got one. I'm yeah. a hypocrite, but I know in my heart that I'm using it conscientiously, and
yeah.
and that, you know, it helps me some. It frustrates me other times, but it's taught me a lot.
That's what I was about to say. It's like you and I have compared notes for years. Not on the podcast, but just in, you know, friendly conversations yeah. going, have you seen this? Yeah. Have you seen that? Yeah. Which is learning. I've learned more about the habits of muskies than anything. Because one of the first things that I saw, and I know, if you imagine, you know, the way I perceived a feeding muskie, right, was always, it was behind and below a bait. generally, right? So the fish is going to follow either completely on the same plane, slightly below. It's going to recoil and hit the bait, right? Yeah. What they do.
Conversely, where it's really helped me a lot of times is when it causes me to search out alternate patterns. Because it's proved to me that they aren't where they're supposed
they
to be.
They aren't where they wouldn't be. But what I was getting at, so true. Yeah, I'm sucking today. But what I was saying is, like, I've always heard these stories of it came straight up and hit the bait. I've seen so many muskies of my boat sitting, and let's say my boat's sitting in 15, we're over on, let's say, like, Western Arm, something like that, right? And I'm sitting in 30, 40 feet of water, throwing to structure. And here I'm 10 feet off the boat, and there's a lightning bolt that comes off the bottom of the lake and hits me. That fish just came straight off the bottom. Like, there are times when muskies will come 40 feet up straight vertically and hit a freaking bucktail.
Mm-hmm.
With no follow, nothing. They just blast it, and you're just going, I just saw that on LiveScope. It looked like lightning came off the bottom of the lake. I didn't even know it was a fish. It was just a streak.
Yeah, and those fish, you can't see them till they do that.
Yeah, which is bizarre, which something I really never thought happened. You know, yeah. He came straight off the bottom. Well, whatever. Old man, shut up. You know, well, yeah, I saw it. Yeah, you learn a ton there, but like you said, I don't know. It's again, the hypocrisy is just melts off like butter, because I on one hand, I love what I've learned, but I hate, like, I kind of, personal opinion here, I just kind of hate the power sniping routine. I think you're, yeah. are you there? I'm just, yeah. I'm calling it like I see it.
Yeah.
Like, dude, troll. But yeah. I mean, a guy told me, and I won't name names, a guy we both know, he said, well, it kind of makes trolling obsolete.
Huh.
And I went, interesting take. He said, why drive around? Why aren't you just looking for them and then casting to them, opposed to drive around hoping you run into them? I went, okay, I can see where you're going, but I don't know. Like, it's not about, I guess for me, and I didn't, again, we're going down another rabbit hole I didn't think we'd go down, but it's not what you did, it's how you did it sometimes. And I think,
yeah.
Did that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
That's the way I'm starting to feel about it. It's not what I did, it's how I did it. And, you know, whatever. So, stupid. I'll move on here. Let me ask you this. So, we're into the winter thing. You're talking about some of your tips and tricks for that.
One thing I forgot, when you do get into open water, but seriously cold temperatures,
mm-hmm.
and I want a live bait, and vertical jig,
mm-hmm.
I got a set of Trinidads that have no level wind.
A what?
Trinidads, Shimano Trinidads. They're okay. They're saltwater jigging reel.
Okay.
That's the first, very first high-speed reel that everybody started using burning bucktails. But you had to use your thumb to make the line go back and forth on the reel, right? So, but if you get the smaller, the 400 size reels, they'll just automatically wind up. But that because it doesn't have a level wind, or you can take any reel and take the level wind off of it. Take the level wind right off of the paw, okay? And then make sure you use the tightest new line, always new braid is always more water resistant,
mm-hmm.
You know, and the best line that I've ever seen as far as water resistance is Seaguar threadlock. Okay. New Seaguar threadlock sheds water for a braid like I've never seen.
Mm-hmm.
That coupled with your WD-40 silicone, you can get by through quite a bit.
So would you say it'd be imperative that an angler lubes up heavily and brings a salamander? What kind of party is this, Herbeck? Goodness gracious.
If you haven't got a heated garage and you got right. access to a garage, you want to thaw your boat out every night.
I'm just picking on lube up, bring a salamander, party on, Wayne. So yeah. Let me ask you this. You're one of the hell of the people I call a legend in the sport. I think you're the only one. You're the only one that refuses to go be a legend and stop doing it, which makes you probably the quintessential legend at this point. You know, you're still out there kicking ass and taking names. Are you gonna guide next year?
Well, of course I am. I mean, people ask me, well, when are you going to retire? I said, retire? I said, I'm doing what you can't wait till retire to do.
Yeah. You wish I you mean, did why, this in retirement.
Why would I quit until I physically can't do it anymore? And I did as many days as anybody that I know do. Of in my part of the country last year.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I had a couple, you know, trying spells where I had to go in for some short, you know, radiation treatments. And
right.
it took a little piss and wind out of me for a week or so. But I still went right at it the yeah. next days. But that's what keeps me going. And,
yeah.
and you know, what am I going to do? Sit around, get high, and eat ice cream?
Yes. You know? Is this an invite? You know? Can we? So, yeah, you know? Yes. No. But it's funny. It's guide as long as, you know, I've been doing her for a hot minute now. Here you've been doing it for attorney. And I tell people, it's like, everybody wants to end up on a boat or a golf course. I just skip the whole job part.
Yeah.
You know, skip the job part. So you're going to be doing that next year. What's kind of the Herbeck game plan? Are you going to start? Do you start Southern Wisconsin? Didn't you do that this year? It's like Southern Wisconsin and then into.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to Vilas County right away. Opener, which is around Memorial Day.
Uh huh.
The Saturday around Memorial Day. You know, in May. In May, I'm going to do some stuff on the Madison Chain and the Wisconsin River. I got a jet boat and stuff like that. And then I'm going to go right up to Vilas County until. And then, rather than wait till the middle of July, I'm gonna head to Eagle Lake right away for the opener.
Nice.
It's just I've been bouncing around so much that I'm going to, spend a little bit more time in specific destinations rather than bouncing back and forth so much, you know? So I'm going to spend doing my guest instructor deal at Andy Myers Lodge on Eagle Lake with all my old guests and helping Julian and Nikki out and spend time with my boy up there and all my old customers and guests, you know, marking maps, you know, showing them different techniques and catching fish for them and stuff like that. So I'll be heading up there third Saturday in June, and I'm going to probably bounce back about home for 3-4 days for a conjugal visit.
I didn't know those were allowed. I need to talk to my warden
for once a month or something. Yeah, you know,
I didn't know.
I'm gonna take some time off for bow hunting this year. I think in November.
Very cool.
I haven't been done that for 4 or 5 years, and I really missed it. I shot a nice buck opening day of rifle this year,
mm-hmm.
and I got to get out in the woods a little bit more. It does something for me, and spend a little bit more time, after deer hunting, I'm going to spend more time, you know, fishing the big deep clear lakes mid mm-hmm. to southern Wisconsin until around Christmas. So very I'm going to cool. take a little time off first part of November this
year. Well, it sounds like you got a plan. You just covered the entire 2025. I like it. It's very thorough. But, you know, it's one of those things if you go, here's Steve Herbeck, here's man, myth, legend. You know, a name that will live on forever here in the sport. And you go, well, he's surely booked up. I mean, what's the chances of a guy trying to get on the boat on, you know, because you got that whole year lined up. Are there any openings where, let's say, you know.
Oh, for sure. You know, I never get that excited about it. I always end up not knowing how to say no and feel fuller than I really should be.
Yeah.
But, I haven't even, I get people up when I get done with the day to say, mark me down for next year. But I've always, if we get together, between December, January, the Muskie shows, I usually got to fit somebody in here and there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The only problem that I got, and this is, I'm a little slow on some things sometimes, I'm good enough with my phone and social media to get by and stuff, but I had something dramatically terrible happen to me. And this was the first part of November. I lost my phone. And something's going on with Apple, and there was a glitch in my cloud. I lost probably 3 to 4 years of fish pictures, of contacts. And, those are my memories of, they're so important to me. This is why I do it, the passion that I have. I love to relive those things. I use them, to help others. Sponsors with baits I caught them on and stuff like that for seminars and things and just reliving memories with great people.
Right.
And so what I'm asking, first of all, you can get a hold of me at any time. My Facebook page, Steve Herbeck. My website, Steve Herbeck Fishing, has all my contacts on it. But here's what I'm going to do. Because these pictures are so important to me and the contacts, I can't remember everybody. So if anybody has pictures up to, I don't care how long ago, because I don't know just what I've totally that I've lost. It's hundreds and hundreds of them, right?
Right.
So if people send me pictures either on my Facebook or a Messenger or, on my email or on my text. What I'm doing is everybody and if you want to be a friend of mine on Facebook, and you aren't already, this includes you, even though you don't have a picture or anything like that. Just ask me to be a friend. You know what I mean? Any people that contact me with these contacts and or pictures, I'm going to have a drawing the end of March for 3 guide dates.
Wow.
Everybody's name, Facebook, email, text will go into a drawing. I'm going to do it on Facebook, live, and whoever wins it will get 3 guide dates. That's like $1,800.
Right. That's super. If you fish with Steve or know somebody that has, tell them, because I know what you mean, because there's a lot of times, you look back at your pictures and go, man, that was a heck of a fish or a fun day. And, a lot of people don't think that the guides look at that, but we do, And so, if you fish with Steve, what would you say, Steve, 3 to 4 years you lost?
Yeah. 4 years probably.
Okay. So, yeah.
Apple's saying that there's a glitch somewhere. It's like a hack. Uh-huh. They're working on it, but they say there's absolutely no guarantee.
Right.
They'll get my storage back, but what's going to be in there, they don't know how far this hack went. And I'm not the only one.
Right. Well.
Very important. Very, very important to me. All those of you that have spent time with me or just stay close with me or have fished with me years ago and want to stay in touch again, just get a hold of me through text, Facebook, email, and I'll get you in this drawing and we'll have a fun raffle come the end of March and whoever wins it. And I feel like I really gotten a really good response on it. I might even get more lenient with it. Give do two or three drawings. You know what I'm saying? It's just, that's how important these things are.
Well, and that's one thing, you know, I knew about this as it was happening, and you and I have some of the similar clients and stuff, and you've called me, hey, do you got this guy's number, that guy's number? Yeah, I got him. Or, you know, it because it's one of these things, you know, when you have good clients, you like to stay in touch with them anyway. So yeah, get a hold of, if you fish with Steve or you want to fish with Steve, get a hold of him so you can get signed up for that drawing.
But even if you just want to be friends with me and want to be able to, I help people 4 or 5 times a week. I get texts or calls, people I don't even know, but because I've said, this is what I do. Don't be afraid to call me and ask me questions about something, about a lake system that I might have some information on, or some a technique, or what my opinion on something is, on what you should do a certain time of the year or a trip or something. This is what I do. This is what I love to do. I'm not like some big secretive guy that doesn't want to. The only thing I can say is I didn't post a lot on Facebook, and that's why a lot of these pictures, especially from this year and last year, are so important to me, because I don't post a lot during the season.
Yeah.
I do it through the winter, you know. I'm just too busy.
You're on the boat all day, you're not going over.
Well, I mean, Jesus, these people sitting on social media, 2, 3, 4 different platforms. It's a full-time job, man. My job is fishing.
I'm sitting here going, I can barely walk up the hill from the boat. I don't really, I call it Canadian sleep. When you get off the boat there, you're lucky to finish a meal and you're just asleep.
Yeah.
You know, the last thing you want to do.
So if this is recordable and retraceable anyway, my text number or phone number, don't be afraid to call me at any time, 608-515-3416. My email is Herbeck, HERBECK @yahoo.com. My website is Steve Herbeck Fishing. My Facebook is Steve Herbeck. So,
okay. You know what? That's... You're one of the people that, and you and I had a conversation just a few days ago where I'll call and ask for advice, and you've always been a really good friend to me and very kind and always helpful. So, you know, don't text him at 4 a.m. This guy, get it.
Don't bother me. It really don't.
Like, where's the party at? But listen. Guys, get a hold of Steve, and if you fish with him or you have pictures off of his boat or whatever, get with him just to make sure he's got those. Steve, yet again, you always come
also,
through.
Also, any of you that have said that you wanted to rebook for next year, make sure you contact me and that it's in the book, because that was one of my things that I lost is what my recording of that, all that stuff on my phone also.
Okay.
So, I mean, I can remember most of them, but just make sure, you know, because I'm 70, you know, I forget things easy.
Yeah. Well, you're going, I remember. And that's how you, dude, that's how you end up like triple booked 1 week. Yeah. You're going, Danny, I need help. You know, are the grandkids old enough to run a boat and pretend to be me? Happens. Well, guys, as always, Steve Herbeck is just one of the best guys I know in the sport. Steve, we'll catch up with you here soon on the podcast, bud.
Take care, my friend.
Thank you, bud. What do you think, Jay Bird? You can, if you got Steve Herbeck photos, he lost his phone, like you heard. Get a hold of him. Jay, are you going to sign up for the drawing for a free guide trip with Steve Herbeck?
Absolutely not. I'm going to leave that for our preferential listeners.
I know. And the winner is
Jay.
For the 4th year in a row.
Cheater.
If one of his, like, Danny Herbeck.
Oh, Danny won it again.
Danny won it again. You rubes. So, that's kind of the way I feel about, like, draw hunts. I'm not a hunter, but, you know, there's all these esoteric hunts where they do drawings for us. Like, in a shocking twist, the governor's cousin wins, you know. It's always something like that. But Herbie's, man, Herbie is a national treasure. And believe it or not, Jay, believe it or not. I don't think there's one bleep in the whole thing.
Oh, great. Wow. Okay. Did you get him laughing, though?
Yeah. He was kind of, you know, refrained and dignified for once.
Okay.
Usually it's like talking to the Tasmanian devil on the phone, but it was nice, you know. He's good.
That guy's caught more big fish than, it's remarkable.
Four. Four is how many.
That legacy that guy is rolling around with. It's incredible.
He's a stud. He's a good dude and makes some good baits with me here at Livingston and all that fun stuff. But anyway, Jaybird, it is almost time, I guess, very shortly, wrapping up the catalog.
Believe me, I'm trying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting there. It'll be on time. It'll be on time. Yeah.
Well, that's coming. So the catalog's coming. You know, we're going to have some more instructional video after the first of the year, you know, everybody get past that. I think
that's true.
Jay, you're going to probably do the what's new for 2025 video. That'll be happening.
Oh, I should. Yeah, I probably should do that.
Going to have that going on probably after before the big Christmas. Oh,
the Muskie 360 Christmas special, which everybody looks forward to every year.
Gather the family around.
Mm-hmm.
The old pipe stove.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Gather the children.
The old space heater, as they say in the Northwoods.
Gather the children around the space heater in the tent you live in.
Hey, the ice shanties are going up soon. You got enough propane there, Bob?
We got to do so. Oh, we need to get. I was supposed to call him, and I just forgot. I got a text from the Smitty himself on Thanksgiving, and he told me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, he said they just boiled a turkey.
He in water?
Just boiled a turkey for Thanksgiving.
Just like his chicken recipe. That is a wild man, that Jakester.
That's it. Just a big pot of water, no salt, no seasoning, just a boiled turkey.
And some raw celery.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Probably just raw celery, a full boiled turkey. Whatever, you know, they're living off the land. You know?
Yes.
Maybe he's one of these guys who's like, listen, the seasoning industrial complex doesn't want you to know that all seasonings are poison. Maybe he's one of those type. Whatever. He's probably
okay.
His blood pressure is probably like 12 over 4. You know, he's living a better life than us. No seasoning.
It's an angle
no
I haven't salt. Thought of. Yeah, you could be right. Yeah. Think about it, right?
He'll live forever.
Yeah.
His dad, I think old Smitty's like 265, I believe.
He's getting up there.
He's up there, you know.
Big Smitty.
Big Smitty. He was at the Constitutional Congress, you know. So, Jay, that's a secret. Boiled meat only, Jay.
Well, some people say, you know, their claim to fame is just like my great-great-grandfather fought in the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Smitty's like, I fought in the Civil War.
He trolled in a shocking twist, he trolled for the Confederacy, though. So there's a little controversy.
Well, there's crossing lines, and then there's crossing lines, Steve. Right, and
they're great. We'll have to have them on. He cracked me up. He said they boiled their turkey, and then they just ate unpeeled potatoes.
Wow, keeping it simple. That's what you do in the Northwoods to live a long time, man.
Just keep it simple. Eat a little snow every now and again is what they always say. Just go
good for you.
Go out there and eat some road snow right off the side of the road.
Sure.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, that's life. That's life lessons, Jay.
Yes, Smith Tackle.
What, from Smith Tackle? No, okay. No, they didn't say any of that. We don't want to get in trouble. So anyway, Jay, how was the fam? I forgot to ask you.
The fam?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, doing real good. Thanks.
Yep, thanks, yep. thanks. Can we?
Went over my buddies too, and his wife got a really nice buck on Thanksgiving. Just like half an hour before close, and everything turned out really well there. So they're chopping up their hamburger as we speak.
You've been doing a little nighttime spotlighting, is what you're right?
what you're saying? Oh,
nah, by the time I got there, it was already over. I missed all the excitement. So,
Jason, JSE's hunting podcast, how to spotlight deer. Just folks, just drive down the side of the road in Saint Germain and start blasting. Anyway, my goodness, we'll dispatch with the stupid pleasantries. We'll be back next week with another thrilling episode of Muskie Fishing Podcast. Say goodnight.
Tune in, and never forget to change that dial.
Don't change the dial.
Don't touch the dial. Don't touch that dial, Stephen.
Sit.